selfishness is okay when it comes to medical interventions.
What do you mean by that?
We have something called the Nuremberg Code, which grew out of the war crimes trials at the end of the Second World War. And it established the principle of free, prior and informed consent for all medical interventions or experiments. It means that if you're going to take a medicine or have some kind of procedure or participate in a trial, you must give your free, prior and informed consent. You can't be coerced. So you're allowed to be selfish when you decide what goes into your body. That is the principle of bodily autonomy. So that's a really important principle that I think we have to maintain. Beyond that, when it comes to the specifics of the COVID vaccine, we have to remember that this is a disease which mostly affects older people. The younger you are, and if you're free of comorbidities, other diseases that make the disease worse, the less benefit you get from the vaccine anyway. And there are some quite severe, potentially life-threatening side effects. They're rare, but so is it rare to die of COVID, for example, if you're under the age of 50. So people may have good reasons to be hesitant. The other thing to bear in mind, I think, is the vaccines do not prevent you getting the disease or spreading it. Public Health England data clearly show that between vaccinated and under-vaccinated groups, the case rate doesn't change. And recent UK study published in The Lancet just last week showed that it's just as transmissible. The main benefit that you get is you don't have the same disease burden, meaning that you suffer less. So you're less likely to suffer a serious disease and be hospitalized. And obviously, if you are in the age range or in the health categories where you are vulnerable to the disease, you therefore should be strongly encouraged to get the vaccination. But to my mind, there is no case for coercion. There's no case for vaccine mandates. And these people should not be losing their jobs just because they want to exercise their right of bodily autonomy.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Wednesday, December 1st, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Had a fantastic interview today with Brooke Jackson, who was the whistleblower, Pfizer whistleblower, who spoke with British Medical Journal, who has been ignored by the entire corporate media. Really, really solid interview we're going to be probably putting out tomorrow. Make sure you keep an eye out for that. That opening clip, how interesting was that? How interesting was that? Is that not exactly, other than suggesting that anybody should be getting this thing, isn't that exactly what we have been telling you? Not that there's not more to that story, right? There's plenty more going on there, as you all know, arguing from within their narrative. Isn't that exactly what we have been discussing for a very long time and being censored for? Of course, you know the answer is yes. That appears to be somebody that is honest. Somebody who is willing to engage intellectually with what the data is showing him and just openly talk about that without concern for politics or what the other people at that table may think. What you'll find quickly is that that part of the conversation is only out of focus and in one tweet somewhere because they don't show it anywhere other than the live stream, and then the clips are gone and they don't show that part of the clip when they put it up on their YouTube channel. You know how that goes. But it's incredible to see the breakdown of that information, that still spread it, still catch it. That really, at the end of the day, that there's really no difference when you break down the data, other than the fact that natural immunity on the side of the uninjected are clearly something that's putting, that is keeping them safer from most things in general in life, but in context of COVID-19, if this is what you believe is happening and their narrative and the data they're showing you, even that data is showing you that natural immunity is robust, durable, lasting, and on and on and on. You've heard all this from me many times. But what's crazy is to watch someone on a mainstream channel, GBN News, just lay that out there. Nuremberg Code, mandates, and how it's not justifiable. I mean, it's just crazy to watch the shift of this whole thing. And it's obvious now that, I mean, whether or not you, unless you think that this was where it was supposed to end up, you need to stand back a moment and give yourself a round of applause for what happened. The fact that they're now admitting the things that we've been censored for saying, that's a win, guys. That is showing you that we are breaking through and forcing their hand. Again, unless you somehow think that this is what was always supposed to happen, which is something you should consider, in fact. I do every day. Just on a quick joking side note, not even joking, but humorous side note. I thought to myself the other day, I said, what if all of this is just to get us to want to use ivermectin? I don't really believe that. But Think about an abstract concept like that. This is what they call conspiracy theories. Despite throughout history, there's been a lot of examples of how they do think this far out. Even COVID-19 itself and the whole Great Reset is an example of how that works. But just, it's good to thought exercise, to ask yourself, what am I missing? What could we not be seeing? And in that, usually we still miss things, because that's what everybody, that happens in a world where there's this much information being circulated around one topic, or the news being overwhelmed with a 24-hour cycle that's meant to make you confused about what you're looking at. But the opening point there, I just want to see, you can see, that's the clip that we shared. You can watch it for yourself. I want you to see one other quick thing, though, that I think is pretty funny. As I said, here is the clip itself, the only version of the clip that they put out on GB News, and it's only 2 minutes. And of course, you can see that this is the discussion. There's the same graphic and everything, but they leave out his part. I wonder why. Obviously, you know why. But today we're going to get into the illusion as always. But in this case, the Lancet revealing to you that this is what's been going on. It's going to be a short show today. Just the Lancet discussion, the study we're going to go over. Then we're going to get into the Omicron variant again and what that's, I mean, the absurdity around this discussion and how it really does reveal to you that there's something concerted happening right now. It always has been. But by all accounts, and we said this on the last show, by the way, because it was just as clear then, the evidence shows that this is not more dangerous. At very least, the current evidence. Doesn't mean it couldn't change by tomorrow. Maybe a new introduction of evidence that suggests that it is. The point is that while there's no evidence to suggest that it is, they're still going, well, it could be, though. It could be. So be scared. But that's not news. That's not journalism. That is blatant propaganda and fear-mongering. Because you being scared and thinking this is dangerous puts you where they want you. Even if in your mind that's because it's stopping vaccine hesitancy and vaccine's good no matter what, it's still dishonest, isn't it? So let's jump right into the main point. This is from November 19th. And of course, shocker, the mainstream media hasn't touched this. I guess that's because The Lancet's one of those classic anti-science fake news conspiracy theorist outlets, right? Well, they ignored it. I thought they were supposed to trust the science. Isn't that interesting? Well, here's what it says. The epidemiological relevance of the COVID-19 vaccinated population is increasing. And you already know this because we've been talking about this for a long time, and there's been plenty of other studies that have not even waffled like this, as much as this is actually pretty sound, but they just come right out and say it. Like, it's clear. They are spreading this. In fact, they have higher viral load. We saw that study come out of, I mean, we've discussed this many times. So the point here is that what this title is telling you is that this is the vaccinated person in this context is playing an increased role in the problem. That's important. Now, remember the discussion of transmission is where they're playing this game, right? This doesn't stop transmission. Now, whether they want to say it reduces transmission by changing the level of severe illness and on and on and on, well, they can say that, but the data does not back that up. And every time we come to things like this or the UK information or everything we keep showing you, it is not backing up what they're saying. These things do not stop transmission. It didn't stop it with Beta. It's not stopping it with the Delta after that, and it's not going to stop. You know what does, though? Natural immunity. Which by all accounts and even their information, most people in this country have. The problem is the people that had it and then got the injection made it worse. They actually removed the antibodies from their blood. They increased the problem, increased antibody-dependent enhancement, and increased adverse events. Now, what's funny is if you had never seen the show and you just heard me say that, you'd go, whoa, crazy fake news. Except that's literal peer-reviewed science that I've shown you 100 times, and you in the chat all know that. I've shown you from The Lancet that says that, or any number of things that continue to tell you exactly what they would argue is fake news. And you've seen all these discussions many, many times. So what this is telling you here is that they're confirming the same point. Not just that it's increasing, though. Wait for the point in the middle here, of course, that The Lancet buries. Like, this should be the headline. You'll see what I mean. High COVID-19 vaccination rates were expected to reduce transmission. That's actually not even true, by the way. It was expected to stop transmission. That's how they sold it to you. But let's just pretend it was expected to reduce transmission of SARS-CoV-2 in populations by reducing the number of possible sources for transmission and thereby to reduce the burden of COVID disease. Now, I like that they started this way. You know why? Because this is what, other than, again, my point that it's the stop, not reduce, even though you could argue from the very beginning, nothing does 100%, which is what I've always told you, but they sold it to you like that, didn't they? 100% effective. But other than reduce, the point is that this is how they sold this to you. Not that it was going to reduce your illness and thereby stopping. No, they said this is what was going to happen. We were going to remove people that were going to transmit from the population by giving them something that stopped the transmission. We all know that's how this was sold. So if that's how it started, look at where we are now. They're arguing that's literally not what they said. And here's the Lancet starting right out by telling you, yeah, that's what they did say. They promised you that this was going to be stopping sources of transmission, thereby reducing the burden of the disease. Well, now we've shifted to the clown world over here, where they're saying, well, no, it's just going to reduce the severity of your illness. You're all going to get it. Everyone's going to get it. You've heard that lately? That's been the last couple of days. Everyone's going to get it. We all know we're all going to get it. Well, that's not even remotely what they were saying before. So it's shifted from we're stopping transmission to we're now just going to reduce the illness a little bit. But everybody over here vaccinated is only going to get mildly ill, and the ones over there unvaccinated are going to get super sick and they're all going to die. But that's not actually even remotely what the data shows you. Again, natural immunity involved in that unvaccinated category is changing everything there. On top of that, the people getting the injection are increasing their problem, which this continues to show you. It says recent data, however, indicate that the epidemiological relevance of COVID-19 vaccinated individuals is increasing. In the UK, it was described that secondary attack rates among household contacts exposed to fully vaccinated index cases was similar to household contacts exposed to unvaccinated index cases, a difference of 2%. Now, that may, in some contexts, they may bend that in the light to make it seem like a very big deal, but ultimately, this is not statistically significant in the larger context. This is basically the same. If you want to argue that does make a difference, and it does to a degree, that does not line up with their narrative that it's super, 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 super rare and it's all the unvaccinated. That is half, half. I mean, statistically speaking, they have pretty much the same rate regardless. And it says 12 of 31, so about, again, close to half infections, about 40-something percent. So it says 12 of 31 infections in fully vaccinated households, 39% contacts. Let me start over. 12 of 31 infections in fully vaccinated household contacts arose from fully vaccinated epidemiological linked indexed cases. So 40% is by no means rare. So let's just put that conversation to bed. Peak viral load did not differ by vaccination status or variant type. So again, if you're pretending that by having the injection, you're somehow less able to spread this thing, that's simply not the case. And the data has continually shown that. It continues. In Germany, the rate of symptomatic COVID-19 cases among the fully vaccinated, of course, which they're now calling breakthrough infections, which will come to an article about the mumps in a moment, which will they're retroactively trying to apply this current clown world COVID narrative to everything from before. And it's a really painful thing to watch. But so people who got sick after being injected, what they now call breakthrough cases, trying to imply that it's super, super rare breakthrough, even though it's the majority, which is just clownish. But it says the rate of symptomatic COVID-19 cases among the fully vaccinated is reported weekly since the 21st, July 2021, since July 21st of July 2021, and was 16.9% at that time among patients of 60 years or older. Okay, that was back then. And as we've shown you with the UK data, this has been exponentially increasing with the administration of the injection. Guess what it's gone to now? This proportion is actually increasing week by week and was almost 60% on the 27th. 60%. That's the cases. Now, of course, they're going to always argue, well, that means that makes sense because most of them are vaccinated, even though that's... The argument would seem to make sense, except for the fact that they're at the same time arguing that it's rare breakthrough, but simultaneously 60%, otherwise known as the majority of the cases. Well, if you decided to take their narrative that, oh, well, that makes sense because they're all infected or all Freudian slip, all vaccinated. So therefore, they're all going to have, but it's super, super rare and they're all going to be mild, even though we just pointed out why that's ridiculous. This goes on to make that obviously not true. October 2021, providing clear evidence. Oh, excuse me. I don't know why this is. I just had to point this out because this has tripped me up twice now. It's weird the way they break this down. There's like commas in some cases are periods in this article. I don't know why. In that case, you might understand it, but this is not a period right here or this one, July 21st. But anyway, just strange. But it says on the 27th of October, 2021, providing clear evidence of the increasing relevance of the fully vaccinated as a possible source of transmission. You got to say possible, don't you, Lancet? How in the world is it possible when we're very clearly verifying that they are transmitting and the CDC's already admitted that they are transmitting? Just because you want to keep it unknown so somebody who doesn't want to believe this can say, well, we don't know for sure, which is like their chant, which is the vaccinated chant these days. We don't know for sure, therefore not true. A similar situation was described for the UK. And this is exactly the data that I've been pulling from. This is literally the data of week 39 to 42. Right now, we're showing you week 47. I think the next one's about to come out very soon. But just recognize that data that we showed you on those graphs. I mean, I might as well just grab it real quick so you, for those that might not be remembering, you can know, you know, what I'm referencing here. You've all seen this. Week 47 is what we were just at. Week 43 and behind is where you go back to the week 41 and going back is where you, that's interesting. Anyway, the point, somewhere they shifted from the public health agency or public health England to the UK health agency, which I always make fun of because it seems alarming to me. But on that point, they're showing you week 42 to week 43. We're showing you week 47. The point was nonetheless the same. What they're saying here is that this data shows you what we're talking about. And this was the data that we continue to reference about let's just take the cases first off that we've shown you many times. It's more than it's the majority, just like it is in the article they're discussing. It's the majority of cases are in the fully vaccinated. And I've been showing you this, right? And people on Twitter or the people that are trolling or whatever else, which we don't really care about, but it's important to make this point, are like, you don't understand this. You're not a scientist. You know, this is fake news. Well, just make sure you understand that here's The Lancet, one of the highest regarded publications in this field of science, referencing the same information and making the same point of it. So just shove that in their faces next time they come in here. It says between a similar situation was described in the UK, and they take just week 39 to week 42, a total of 100,000 to 160 COVID-19 cases were reported among citizens of 60 years or older. 89,821 occurred among the fully vaccinated. That is almost 90%. Almost 90% of over 60s in that time frame were fully vaccinated. 3,395 among the unvaccinated. That's only 3.4%. That is the vast majority. That's not a rare breakthrough case. Now, even if you want to compare it to the fully vaccinated population, and say that, look, the prevalence is low. That's not, I keep making the point, those are two different conversations. If we're just standing back and looking at the full breadth of what COVID-19 is doing to our population, and we're recognizing that 90% of the current issue right now in the most vulnerable population are in the fully vaccinated, how do you walk away going pandemic of the unvaccinated? Because you just toe the line. That's why. It says 1 week before, the COVID-19 case rate per 100,000 was higher among the subgroup of the vaccinated compared to the subgroup of the unvaccinated in all age groups of 30 or more. Just make sure you hear what that just said. This is, again, shifting, and that's why I made that point first. So we have one side of this conversation, which is just the full body of the data showing you that most cases are in the vaccinated category. Then The Lancet makes the same point that we keep making. 1 week before, COVID-19 case rate per 100,000 was higher among the subgroup of the vaccinated compared to unvaccinated in every single group over 30 years old. This is why they won't talk about this from the 19th, because it's The Lancet. What are they going to say? They just pretend like it's not there. This has never been more clear. I don't know how this is even happening where you have groups like The Lancet saying this, and then the next week The Lancet puts out a study that says the exact opposite. Well, that's because they're different people publishing the data, different researchers or scientists, but how do people miss this stuff? In Israel, a nosocomial outbreak was reported involving 16 healthcare workers, 23 exposed patients, and 2 family members. The source, as we keep showing you, was a fully vaccinated COVID-19 patient. Now, here's the other point. On top of the idea that they're just going, well, they're going to get sick. Everyone's got to get it. They try to make the argument that they're not going to transmit. But that's not what we're seeing. it is at the very least the same as even the peer-reviewed data that's coming out is showing you that. The science around this topic is continually reiterating that it's the same. They can spread it just as easily. And by the way, this article makes that. That's why I like this little abstract they put out right here so much, because it goes through all these points. It goes on to say the vaccination rate was 96.2% among all exposed individuals. 14 fully vaccinated patients became severely ill or died. The two people who were unvaccinated simply got mild disease. That is one of the most important parts of this discussion right here. So we've gone from recognizing that the majority, 90%, in fact, of the cases are in the fully vaccinated in this time frame we're designating here, and it's only gotten worse since then. Then The Lancet points out that per 100,000, which is the second argument to that, it's super more deadly in the unvaccinated. Well, that's not what that's saying right there. So we go from 90% cases in the fully vaccinated. Then they point out that per 100,000, it's still more prevalent in the vaccinated in every category other than under 30. Then it points out that in the category we're discussing here of the people who got infected, everybody who got severely ill was fully vaccinated, and people who died were fully vaccinated. The only people that got mild disease were unvaccinated. Nobody unvaccinated got severely ill. That is what's called a microcosm of the full picture. And what we're pointing out here is this super rare? Just taking this as a microcosm of the full picture and breaking that down by percentages, it's obvious the majority of the hospitalization, the entire death, all of the death is on the vaccinated side, and the vast majority of cases are on the vaccinated side. But here we are pretending it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated, as The Lancet literally shoves this down your throat. And by the way, just because it's on The Lancet doesn't mean you should take it at face value. I question what they do as everybody else. But for whatever reason, we have them, and they're acknowledged as one of the highest regarded publications in this field, and here's what they're saying, and nobody in the media is talking about it. On November 19th, the U.S. CDC identifies four, and I've already told you this, four of the top five counties with the highest percentage of fully vaccinated population, upwards of 99%, as the high transmission counties. Four of the top five of the highest vaccinated groups are in the highest transmission counties. Again, that's that last point. So is it super, super, super rare? And all they're doing is catching it and just dealing with mild disease while the unvaccinated are over there spreading it everywhere. Or are we looking at the clear, obvious demonstration of the vaccinated being the super spreaders that we've been telling you this was going to become and spreading this all over the place? Or, you know, whether this is a new variant, whether this is the spike protein, whether this is just vaccine side effects, or whether this is any other variation therein, it shows you that all of it is happening on the side of the vaccinated. That they are the highest transmission. Adversely, they don't say this in this study. I've showed you this in previous research. You go the other way, it's the same thing. Most of the lowest vaccinated groups are some of the least affected right now. Now, of course, there's the caveats here and there, but in a broad picture, it's pretty much consistently just like that. Many decision makers assume that the vaccinated can be excluded as a source of transmission, they say. It appears to be grossly negligent to ignore the vaccinated population as a possible and relevant source of transmission when deciding about public health control measures. Not just possible, but relevant. That means important. That means that right now it's, I don't even need to give you a meaning to that, because the numbers before that make it very clear. This is a pandemic of the injected. It's never been more clear, and just continue. And we're going to follow up with the next week on this. And you know why we're pointing at the UK data, for those that are wondering? Because they're the only ones so far that are one of the only ones that are giving you the not vaccinated versus the vaccinated categories. Weirdly enough, they removed the per 100 category that used to go right here to the right of this category. You know why they removed that? Because if they left it, it would show you what The Lancet just told you. That even on top of the numbers, it's also the majority, and the risk is higher in their category. Now, on top of that, before we move on to the Omicron discussion, here is The Lancet, which we showed you from November 20th. By the way, one day after this topic, continuing to tell you, stigmatizing the unvaccinated is not justified. The transmission and the relevant role that the vaccinated play is impossible to ignore unless you just blindly ignore it. Now, on top of all of that, guess what, guys? It's still not dangerous. The Omicron variant, if that's what's really happening, is continued to be shown from the very beginning, from the very people that discovered it, and the very experts on the ground in both South Africa and Botswana were going, don't worry, though, it's really not that dangerous. And what did they take from that? Oh, my God, we're all going to die. Everybody locked down and everybody shut down travel and everybody. Now, you could pretend that was because we've just been playing it safe, but that's not how they framed this, guys. The media went out of its way to say it could be super dangerous, as opposed to going, it probably isn't, but we're looking into it. That would have been a fair journalistic perspective and would have been honest. Don't worry, guys. No need to panic unnecessarily. No. They wanted you to panic. They wanted you to lose your mind, wear your mask, get your injections, and do everything else. And then Biden can roll the next day and be like, don't worry. It's not, you know, be concerned, but don't panic. Okay, well, then why did you basically make them panic? I mean, it was a flow of events. But don't miss that it's still happening, even though they already kind of backpedaled slightly. They're still driving in all of their actions around the Omicron variant. They're still pretending they're going to revolutionize all the injections super, super fast right now because of Omicron. But wait a minute. If Omicron's not that serious, doesn't that mean it's going to go away real fast? That's what the experts would tell you. So then why are they shifting everything to address Omicron? Because that was the plan. Here's City AM pointing out, sigh of relief in South Africa as Omicron variant appears to be super mild. That's a direct quote, super mild, with COVID death rate not jumping. This is from today. It says, the WHO and coronavirus experts are increasingly convinced that the new Omicron variant is, quote, super mild and has so far not led to a jump in COVID deaths anywhere in Southern Africa. Cool. So we knew that because we told you that 2 days ago, 3 days ago, in fact, I think, because we were citing the experts in South Africa, the person who discovered it, and they were all saying the same thing. Now, are we supposed to pretend that the mainstream just didn't see that? Didn't care? Probably. You take your pick. It's been there. You saw it on this show. Here we are. Now we're saying today the WHO and their experts are saying we are increasingly convinced, meaning they were already convinced. So what I'm trying to show you here is that this was a choice. Your mainstream Western media made a very conscious choice to scare you about something that they knew at least at the moment, the data did not back up. And all you're seeing here is the people that are in these locations going, we're reconfirming, we're reiterating that it's never been serious. And if you just, let's get through this article and you'll see as they make their points that they saw it too. That people were misrepresenting this. The WHO is calling this morning for countries to drop travel restrictions and end mass hysteria. Now, in no way am I thinking the WHO is, they're absolutely a part of this plan. And instead, he cautiously optimistic. Oh, he said, and instead be cautiously optimistic as more and more reports out of South Africa suggest the new Omicron variant is not more lethal than the previous Delta variant, which again was what was immediately said pretty much right from the start. But you know, you couldn't fault somebody for playing it safe. But that's not what happened. I mean, this was over the top. This is like we're going right back to square one. I think that was kind of the point. It says, in fact, there have been no reports. Make sure you hear this part. No reports of hospitalizations or deaths as a result of anyone being diagnosed with Omicron. Let me just say that again. That's everywhere. There have been no reports of hospitalizations or deaths as a result of anyone being diagnosed with Omicron. But we'll get to it in a minute, again, briefly. The fact that there's no way that they could even know in the vast majority of places around the world, for that matter, that they were in fact diagnosed with Omicron. The PCR test is not capable of telling you what variant you may have, if that's even what's happening. It can say yes or no. That's it. Yes, you're sick, or no, you're not, with what they're telling you it's testing for. You know my thoughts on that ridiculous test in the context of COVID-19 and how they're abusing it. The only way you can find out if it's a variant is by using genetic sequencing. In the U.S., there's only a few locations where that's possible, and they have to send it off to the CDC. So we'll get into that in a minute and show you why it's ridiculous that there are all these claims. Well, oh, we just found it here. We just found it today, right there. In the U.S., we'll get to that in a minute. Most patients merely experience a severe headache, nausea, dizziness, and a high pulse rate, according to hospitals and medics across all Southern Africa. Oh, so you mean like the flu? Like the cold? Maybe that's what it is. Because that's also coronavirus, right? Don't forget that. The cold is a coronavirus. So is it not possible that we're just looking at something that they just claim, oh my God, it's so different. I mean, look, at this point, it could be different. There could be variations in it, or it could be an absolute blatant lie that they just claim is different. I mean, who knows And I'm only saying it like that because, guys, this has been throughout history, foreign policy, whatever else we've covered, there's always this like, we think this or we think that, and here's some data, a leaked document. And we've said this before, where it kind of comes down to us pointing to things that we're considering versus the media apparatus saying we're all crazy. We're verifiably seeing this stuff. They have been caught in real time, blatantly lying about things, taking data from the first part of the year and claiming it applies to the second half of the year to make it look like it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated, or lying about literally everything we've found out so far, everything. And they just have a part of the society that are willing to ignore it and say that they're doing what they think is right and we're all crazy. But the reality is it's never been more obvious in history. I've never seen this before, ever. We see what they're doing, and they're just floundering in the illusion, hoping people just trust what they say. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's pretty obvious. Now, going on, most patients merely experience a severe, and that was the point, is that simply, it could be that they're just blatantly making this up, calling the cold the something that they're seeing. We should ask these questions today. Now, under a hype, it says, Doctor, this is the person we just referenced, Angelique Coetzee, chair of the Southern African Medical Association, said this reaction, the reaction you saw from Biden, from the Western media, from the UK, from all the Western countries, the reaction was medically seen, not justified. They said this from the beginning, and we told you that. Coetzee called the response from many European countries, including the UK, just hype. Looking at the mildness of the symptoms we are seeing, currently there is no reason for panicking as we don't see any severely ill patients. Right? So and that justifies the panic and shutdown and lockdown, right? That's what they're trying to, it's irrational. Finally, tweaking vaccines, which is what's still happening. So remember, it's not more dangerous. It does not seem to add up. But yet they're already tweaking these things. Like the day they heard this was going on, before they even knew what was happening. Does that make sense? No, and it shouldn't, because that was they were already planning to adjust this with the new thing and the new variant, the new whatever, to make the new vaccine. And they just apparently just chose Omicron. I don't know why, but there's no logical reason why you would pick a new variant that we haven't proven is even more dangerous before it's even shown to be more transmissible, and decide to revolutionize your injection in an extremely fast way for something that may not even be there in 100 days when you're done doing it. On top of that, the reality is if this thing is more, if it's even really there and it is a variant, then it is less severe and less transmissible, or more transmissible, but less severe. It's possible that it could work its way out, like they tell us other variants have. So if that's something that's possible based on the fact that we're proving that it's not more dangerous based on the current data, why would they choose to focus on it if it could be gone very quickly? And they know that. Tweaking vaccines, it says, as countries come to terms with the new Omicron variant, work is underway to look at tweaking existing COVID injections. Novavax said it has already initiated development of a new recombinant spike protein based on the known genetic sequence of Omicron, specifically, and we'll have it ready to begin testing and manufacturing within the next few weeks. Think about that, guys. This is a new vaccine. This is a new thing. This is not the same. They're using the same technology, but so too do they use new technology with new vaccines historically. You know what's supposed to happen? Every time they make a new one based on that same technology, new safety testing, new trials, new efficacy data. Nope, not now, though. We're apparently, just like we did all throughout COVID, skipping the safety for your safety, because that continues to make sense in COVID clown world. I don't know why. Think about how crazy that is. Next few weeks. Based on the same spike protein, by the way, that we still know is the problem. Because I still don't know why that makes sense to anybody. Moderna said, since early 2021, Moderna has advanced a comprehensive strategy to anticipate new variants of concern. And remember that they were talking about this thing before it was even confirmed. It was being discussed broadly, and they were already like, we're on it, we're working on this. This strategy includes three levels of response should the currently authorized booster prove insufficient to boost waning immunity against Omicron. Oh yeah, should it be? You mean the same thing that didn't work for all the ones before it and still not working with this? And it was because it's based on the Wuhan strain that was all the way back then that has nothing to do with what's currently happening? Yeah, well, it's just, if it doesn't work, but go ahead and take it just in case. Take this thing right now, hurry. And then we'll give you the next one when it doesn't work. It's ridiculous what's happening. Now, here is another frustrating part of this. As we're realizing that this is not more dangerous. At the very least, to be very clear, none of the evidence is demonstrating in any way suggesting that it is more dangerous. Now, it says the sad reality is that it will... This is on Reddit, and this is on nursing subreddit. It says, after two rounds and possibly a third, who else feels this way? I know I do. It says, I've been in a medical field for 8 years, and I've always done my best to care for my patients. Well, that is your job, so good for you. It says, but I'm truly hoping that the new Omicron variant Fs people up. That's what they actually said. And this person says, I feel the same way. Well, as I said, the sad reality is this will F people up, just not the ones that these horrible people masquerading as good people think that it will. It's going to F you up because you took the injection that is causing all this to be worse. This is clearly not more dangerous, and it's clearly something that's continuing to be fought off by the natural immunity that's been shown very clearly to continue to make antibodies and memory B and T cells to the variants that have continued forward. I've shown you that many, many times. And I'm waiting for a follow-up. I don't know if it will happen because of how controlled all this is right now. But just to include this yet again, this is from August 13th, ultra-potent antibodies. And the study very clearly tells you that it makes four different antibodies to at least 23 different variants, including the variants of concern, including Delta. And the point is that if you caught it in 2020 and you made antibodies to variants of concern that only came around long after you were done, it's going to continue to do so by all intents and purposes. But the data suggests that. As they're admitting that it's not for everything else in regard to the vaccine. These are bad people, guys. These are horrible people pretending to be good people. To openly wish that this new thing hurts people that may not even be able to take the injection, people that may have natural immunity. Yeah, we don't care about any of those little side topics, do we? God, it's just gross. It's gross what people have been allowed to do and act like that means they're a good person. Here is the NBC mainstream news, excuse me, the corporate media. Despite what we're hearing right now today and have been since the beginning of this from South Africa and Botswana governments that, you know, it's super mild. That's, by the way, that's also the WHO and coronavirus experts on the ground. Here today is how they represent that topic. Excuse me, this is from two days ago. But nonetheless, this is the point, because this has still been there. They were saying this then. Omicron may cause milder symptoms, right? So they're admitting, yeah, we're hearing that. We're hearing what they're saying on the ground. But experts aren't breathing easy yet. Oh, you mean the one expert you sought out that would say what you wanted them to say? Exactly. Because all the experts are going, it doesn't seem to be that dangerous, and we can't seem to... But the one guy that goes, we don't know, it could be dangerous. Let's get them on. Let's get that guy on. With the new variant's high numbers of mutations, it says, quote, what we're worried about is the transmissibility and the immune evasion capabilities, one infectious disease doctor said. Right. Experts aren't breathing easy. That one. But the point is, that's not different than Delta. Transmissibility, immune evasion is capabilities, but not more dangerous. So why is this one any different to what they're focusing on, what they're doing? Because there was some kind of coordination here. But instead of the NBC going, by all the data we have, this does not appear to be more dangerous, but we're still making sure we're looking into it, or we'll make sure we're investigating it. We'll let you know with new information. But everything we see now suggests that you're not at risk. Nope, because that wouldn't keep people scared. So they err on the side of fear, which is how they keep people in control. Here's the conversation from, where's the date again? Gosh, I hate these different looking, oh, right here, November 30th. Will Omicron, the new coronavirus variant of concern, be more contagious than Delta? A virus evolution expert explains what researchers know and what they don't. Well, let's see what he has to say. Does the Omicron variant's greater number of mutations mean it is more dangerous and transmissible than Delta? We simply don't know yet. Wait a minute. How? What? We don't know? Yet all of the media has been screaming that we're in super danger? Yeah, you get the point. I don't need to reiterate this 1,000 times. We don't know, guys, and they will tell you that. The experts that they're pointing at to suggest that we might be more in danger are openly going, we have no idea. It could be, though. The conditions that led to the emergence of this variant are not yet clear. They don't even know how this started. Well, you know why that's super important? Because this is strange. Because of the, as even they pointed out, the weird explosion all at once. Doesn't really make sense with how this normally goes. Of course, they're going to be like, well, because of the unvaccinated. Anything's possible. but that's just a statement. There's no actual evidence to suggest that's what happened. By the way, there's lots of evidence historically to show that the vaccinated are what caused these things to come up. But even then, not in this way, not in this explosion all at once sort of mutation. So what actually happened? Let me say what he said again. The conditions that led to the emergence of this are yet not yet clear. Is that normally what we hear? Normally we hear the exact opposite. We hear the contact tracing and we get right down to, well, we're at a point now where we're already taking action around this thing and they're going, we don't even know if it's dangerous and we don't even know how it started, but let's all point at it and pretend like we know what's going on. That's just a definition for government. Interesting though, isn't it? What is clear is that the sheer number of configurations, mutations, right? That's all they're pointing at. The mutations. So we don't know. That's what government needs to learn how to say. We don't know. And they never say that. When's the last time you heard any government official, any politician, any media personality say, I don't know? One possible explanation for how viral variants with multiple mutations emerge is through prolonged infection in a patient whose immune system is suppressed. Uh-oh. That seems relevant. You probably remember why. A situation that can lead to rapid viral evolution. Well, there's at least one possible answer. I still argue that the way that they're explaining this doesn't really add up with what I've seen, the discussions of how this would work, even with leaky vaccines and so on. But let's, for sake of conversation, take their point here. What they're going to try to argue is this is because of the unvaccinated, right? But that's not what's actually happening. Prolonged infection, right? They're saying multiple mutations can emerge through prolonged infection in a patient specifically whose immune system is suppressed. Now, again, where did we just hear that? Here's the Swiss Policy Research article, COVID vaccines and cancer. Now follow with me. If you haven't seen this before, you'll see why this is relevant in 1 second. Can COVID vaccines cause cancer? In some cases, the answer appears to be yes. Read this, please. This is backed up by peer-reviewed science, by many different citations and all the links and everything. And Swiss Policy Research is always doing a fantastic job of citing what they're doing and sourcing everything for you. And it's all based on the same kind of, this is a highly regarded outlet. But it says it can, they can cause cancer. But it says it has been shown that up to 50% of people who get injected, COVID vaccines can induce a temporary immune suppression or immune dysregulation, what's called lymphocytopenia, that may last about a week or possibly longer. On top of that, don't forget that the injection from Pfizer specifically was shown to increase your risk of being infected with specifically the COVID-19 by 50% in the first 7 days. So while you have an increased risk of 50% of catching the virus in the first 7 days, you also have a weak period or possibly longer where in that your immune suppression is clearly decreased. Now, it's probably one and the same to a degree because your immune suppression is creating the illness, but this is leading to things like cancer and plenty of others. Okay, now please read this. I did an entire segment on this in a previous show. But recognizing that the peer-reviewed science out there shows you that immune suppression is being caused by these injections, up to 50% of them. Let's go back to this point. One possible explanation for how viral variants with multiple mutations can emerge, like this unexplainable case that they're merged variant, they're not clear how it happened, is through prolonged infection in a patient whose immune system is suppressed. Okay, so prolonged infection also doesn't sound like something that we see from someone who just gets sick and it passes someone they claim is unvaccinated that it processes through. Well, where do we see prolonged infection? That's right, in people with a leaky vaccine. Vaccines that keep hosts alive but still allow transmission. So it doesn't kill you. In some context, I mean, my point is that's not what the data is showing us, but in the context of what this is, as I said the other day, and this is an important point to make, I have a strong suspicion that the concept of a leaky vaccine was used intentionally, because if you understand the way this is supposed to work, it seems to only negatively affect the unvaccinated while the people that are taking the injection continue to spread it, but don't actually seem to get predominantly more sick. But what I think I'm seeing here, and that's just an overview point, is that it seems to add a lot of other things, myocarditis, blood clots, heart attacks. And maybe that wasn't intentional. Just a thought to put out there. So you kind of make more sense to why this would be something that would be put out intentionally. And now we're seeing the fallout from their malfeasance, from their incompetency, or maybe it was all on purpose. It's up for you to decide. But the point being, that if immune suppressing is being caused by the injection, prolonged infection is being caused by people that have injections that don't really stop the transmission, and as it says, could allow very virulent strains to circulate the population. Here's the other one discussing leaky vaccines promote the transmission of the virus. Well, doesn't that seem to predominantly point at one category? Then it goes on to say researchers have hypothesized that some of the earlier variants, such as alpha variant, may have stemmed from a persistently infected patient. Again, what is a persistently infected patient? Especially when we just talked about the Lancet discussion. I might be able to grab this really quick. See if that's the one. We just talked about the Lancet discussion that made it pretty damn clear. Perfect. Rate of reinfection is almost nil. Where's the part? Right here it says, per 100, here we go. There's the zero per 100. It says, if they found that only 0.7% became reinfected, in this case, they saw that there's a part. Oh, here it is, right up top. It says, now when they found that the risk of SARS-CoV-2 infection decreased by 85.5 to almost to 100% among those who had previously been infected. That's just a general overview of the data. But then when they actually did their study, they found that those who had previously been infected with COVID-19, the incidence rate of reinfection was zero. Zero per 100 people. Zero. That's from The Lancet yet again. So if the reinfection rate for people who have previously been infected is zero per 100 people, again, let's come back to this point. What is a persistently infected patient? Either somebody who continues to get reinfected because their body is, their immune system is suppressed, or they're catching something else, or someone who is continually spreading it while not stopping it. In any way you look at this, none of this points at what the science shows you about people who are unvaccinated and have natural immunity, or have natural immunity. But it goes on to say the unusual constellation of numerous mutations in the Omicron variant make it very different from all other SARS-CoV-2 strains, which is weird they say strain. You think variant, right? Which raises questions about how it came about. Yeah, it sure does. But that's not really what they're thinking we're pointing at. They're probably trying to suggest unvaccinated. I'm beginning to wonder whether there was some more foul play involved to get this to happen. And maybe that's why we saw this weird over-the-top focus on immediately using Omicron to go new vaccines, new shutdowns, new lockdowns. And when it's been 30 seconds since it's been announced. And even then, right in the beginning, it was shown to be not more dangerous, but we're rushing over the top. Why? Why are we making new injections on this thing if we're right now wondering whether it's even going to be here tomorrow? It says Delta is between 40% and 60% more transmissible than the Alpha variant and nearly twice as transmissible as the original SARS-CoV-2 virus first identified in China. Now, of course, this is what they're telling us. I wouldn't take any of this at face value. I haven't seen almost any evidence to back up what they claimed about Delta. Remember, they lied to you about it being more dangerous in the beginning. Same way they're doing this now, acting like we're just not sure, but they're pushing it as more dangerous, and then just kind of fell back comfortably into it's more transmissible. Even though, why is that even more dangerous? Oh, long haul, even though that's also been unconfirmed. And the data around that has shown you that most of it's in people's heads. That was another peer-reviewed study that found that most of the claims are not connected to people with a verifiable test. Even, you know, as you know, my comments on that. The only ones that they can point back to a verifiable, whether genetic or otherwise, that they have this are people that just have an issue with smell and taste. Every other incidence they can point to, people going, my toes hurt, or I can't stand up, or I can't sleep right, or I can't think clearly. None of them can be tied back to a verifiable case. That was a peer-reviewed study. It's amazing how much science we've gone over on this show, and it just all kind of blends into the background because mainstream doesn't talk about it. But it says the Delta variant's heightened transmissibility is the primary reason why researchers believe it was able to outcompete other variants to become the dominant strain. And this is what they're kind of arguing right now is possible with this one, but you'll see what the point about the transmissibility is still up in the air. Make sure I didn't miss it. So it says the Delta variant has also acquired mutations that would allow it to evade neutralizing antibodies that serve a critical role in the body's defense against an invading virus, except not for natural immunity. It's funny how they leave that part out, isn't it? Now, that's verifiable. every place that they want to point to, every one of them, the NIH, the WHO, the Lancet, Journal of Infection, Nature, Science, all of them have clearly and unequivocally stated that the lasting, durable, robust immunity could possibly last the rest of your life, regardless of disease severity, which is what the Lancet said. And they keep pretending that, no, it totally depends on disease severity. Actually, I forgot that I did need to grab that for a point that we're going to be getting into in a minute. Let's see. There it is. Regardless of disease severity. We'll get back to that in a minute. Where were we? Here we are. But your natural immunity does not, or rather does, stop what's happening here. The Delta variant acquiring mutations that would allow it to evade neutralizing antibodies specifically in regard to the injection. The Delta, as we showed you here, has your people are shown to already be defending against it if they had natural immunity. Like, you know, it's just amazing to say trust the science. And I could point to this stuff right off the top of my head. It's right there. Now, I'm not saying by pointing at this, it proves or we know for sure this is 100% the case. But what I'm saying is, why are they pretending that there's nothing that backs up this sentiment when this is peer-reviewed science that you're staring at that says exactly what I'm saying? Because there's dishonesty around this entire thing, guys. It says this could explain why, as multiple reporters have shown, the COVID vaccines have been somewhat less effective against the Delta variant. But it goes on to say, it is too early to say if the Omicron variant is fitter than Delta, or if it will become dominant, even though they're all pretending like that's already happening. It says it is also possible that the unusually high number of mutations could be actually detrimental to the virus and make it unstable. Funny how that's not being discussed in the mainstream. It's all doomsday fear-mongering, but right now we're at a shot where it could actually go the other way. It is highly likely that the Omicron variant is not the end game and that more SARS-CoV-2 variants will emerge. Well, yeah, that's because that's what was always part. They've been telling you that from the beginning. And I'll read you a quote that says that as well in a moment. But it says it will continue to circulate and mutate as long as it can spread. And that's exactly the point. As long as it can spread. As long as it's allowed to continue to circulate in the population. Because their leaky vaccines won't stop these things and will continue to increase the spread and transmission of virulent, of more. The data from the beginning of this conversation has been very clear. Imperfect injections create variants. The fact that there's something else that needs to get in the way, they need to work around, is why these things change. And it's amazing that this is contentious when this is what they were saying before we got here. And as Dr. Malone points out about this guy, the author of this article, so this will be this guy, Suresh Kuchipudi. He says, this guy pulls his punches and will not speak the obvious truth. What's that obvious truth? Well, tell him, Dr. Malone. The selective pressure is the vaccines. In other words, the vaccines are causing the pressure that creates the variants. Yeah, the inventor of the mRNA technology used for these vaccines. Yeah, he's the crazy fake news conspiracy theorist now because he's telling you the truth. It says, note where his funding comes from. Another intimidated, spineless academic. Well said. And I'll include this so you can see the zero per 100 people. Now, going to the next part. We've now seen it in the U.S. because we're all going to die, because that's what Fengel Dang is all about. Sphere mongering. And remember when he said, it's 500% more deadly. And then underneath that said, if that's true, this is scary, or whatever he said. This is something. If that's true, because that's not medical misinformation at all. It's the very least, it's irresponsible. As they frame themselves as the responsible, safety, good people of the world fighting for you. He says, breaking, the CDC has identified first case of the Omicron variant in the U.S. and California. Says CNN source. Oh, great, CNN, that's fantastic. Now, oh, wait, I had these. Here it is. As I said, now the point here is to think about the discussion we just had. Actually, you know what? I am going to come back to this. I'm going to move this over here because I want to talk about this first. Oh, you're kidding me. Damn it. Well, that's really frustrating. I just lost my highlight on that. Well, we'll go through this. It's not that long. And we'll come back to the point about this being found and how exactly that is possible. Stricter coronavirus testing being weighed for all travelers to the United States. This is coming from the Biden administration right now, and it applies to all of you, even those out there that dutifully got the ejection 3 and 4 and 5 and 5th and 6th time. Good job, guys. Now you have to do the exact same thing. Of course, they want to blame it on everybody. It's all your fault for not being coerced into something that later turned out to not work. It's your fault. The Biden administration is preparing stricter testing requirements for all travelers entering the United States, including returning Americans. Remember back when that was a conspiracy theory itself? Anyway, to curb the spread of the potentially dangerous Omicron variant. Potentially dangerous. Right? Like, why are we even trying to frame it that way when we know that the data shows you that's not the case? How about we say to spread the curb of the Omicron variant that appears to be no less more dangerous? I mean, because that does not work for them. As part of an enhanced winter COVID strategy, Biden is expected to announce that officials would require everyone entering the country to be tested one day before boarding flights. Now, that's a clear boon for the testing administration, as well as the fact that there is a problem with these things. Yes, it's a very small thing, and yes, pretty much everything treated in hospitals are treated with ethylene oxide. But as I've shown you in my research, using the very data from these places that do that kind of cleansing, I guess, it shows you with very clearly, yes, there is a residue that's left behind. Now, one time, yes, not a big deal. I mean, I care, I because I don't want my body as a temple. I do not want to put anything in there. I don't want your tongue suppressor in my mouth. I don't want that nonsense in my body. Even if it's, to your, as you say, not enough to hurt you, it's that means it implies it still does to a small degree though, right? But the point being that if you use these tests, they shove up your nose or wherever else, there is a small residue of ethylene oxide. Then I went on to prove to you, based on the research of that topic, of that chemical, that it builds up in your body. So it's a no-brainer to realize that if you have to get tested, or let's say you have to travel for your job, and you have to get tested twice a day, every day, for everything you're doing, on and on and on and on, it's clearly there are people that are wildly profiting from that, and the governments are tied right into that. But on top of that, that is a risk. It does increase your risk of cancers and plenty of other things. And so all I'm saying is that you should have a choice to do that as well as anything else. How about natural immunity plays a factor? But no, you shouldn't have to be tested for that either. How about the fact that you're not even at risk? How about the fact that the vast majority of the population is not at risk? But of course, they just want to jam this down everyone's throats equally because they want you all to feel like you're in danger. It says regardless of their vaccination status. So even if you're fully vaccinated, triple vaccinated, quadruple vaccinated, you're still going to have to do this. What does that tell you? They're admitting that this isn't working, that they know you're just as transmissible. They know you're just as dangerous, at least within the context of their narrative. Administration officials are also considering a requirement that all travelers get tested within 3 to 5 days of arrival. So 3 to 5 days, then one day before, then when you land, then we on and on and on. This is the future. In addition, they are debating a controversial proposal to require all travelers, including American citizens, to self-quarantine for 7 days, even if your tests are negative. This is so incredibly irrational. On top of the fact that people who are injected are often to do this too. So it continues to show you that you just might as well be useless. But on top of that, self-quarantining for 7 days means there's a huge quarantine infrastructure being built, which is what we continue to show you. But on top of all of it, even if your test is negative, so what's the point of the tests? Why not just quarantine everybody? And I'm not saying that should happen, but I'm just trying to show you that if this is all going to happen regardless, why not just do the action without the test? Because the test is part of the control. Those who flout the requirements, of course, might be subjected to fines and penalties. So this is a soft lockdown. A soft, ongoing, controlled lockdown where you're going to have to do these things regardless and be fined and penalized if you don't. The first time such penalties will be linked to testing and quarantine measures in the U.S., it says, the two testing measures are detailed in a draft public health order by the CDC. All right, so the CDC is happy to tell you this all has to happen. Right? Despite the fact that they have just as much access to the data that talks about natural immunity. Did they discuss natural immunity here? No, they don't care. They don't care about whether you have it. They don't care about whether that matters if you have to get injected after that. They don't care whether that pertains to to the testing. It doesn't matter because it's not about safety. But for all those that are fully vaccinated out there, this should bother you. But here is what one person said to Walensky. His name is Cassidy, Senator Cassidy, calling out Walensky. And clearly he's knowledgeable on the topic, or at the very least somebody prepped him to be. And he is calling them out about their choosing to ignore, otherwise known as their ignorance of, I shouldn't say it like that because it implies they don't know about it, but they're choosing to ignore the valid information around natural immunity. And then her argument is a lie. Not really a lie as so much as a sidestep is to find out and point to anyone anywhere that says what they want to point at, despite the fact that literally every other data, like specifically this one, which we'll go to next, shows you the opposite of what she's saying. Let's listen to it first and you'll get the gist of this. Walensky, something about the way that she conducts herself that continues to make me feel that she's a central part of this manipulation, not so much that she's a central player. They're using her. Like, I think that just could not be more clear, that they are absolutely using her as a tool. Here, let me download this actually so I can play it clearly on here. But they're using her as a tool to manipulate you. Because I think people like her are typically put in places like this to be a potential scapegoat, right? So they can be the one they throw into the bus at some point when it needs to happen. And I'm truly beginning to think that's what's happening with Fauci right now. All right, so check this clip out.
Not done the research showing that natural immunity confers protection against recurrent infection.
Yeah, thank you so much for allowing me to clarify this point, because I understand the question.
You understand the question? That's important to say. I understand this one. Let's talk about that one. I'm sorry. I mean, come on, it's a weird thing to say. Something about her unnerves me.
Showing that natural immunity confers protection against recurrent infection.
Yeah, thank you so much for allowing me to clarify this point, because I understand the question. First of all, let me just reiterate that our current stand after reviewing 96 papers and a scientific brief on this issue is that everyone who's been previously infected should be vaccinated.
But that's not my question.
I agree. So,
and by the way, the data suggests that increases your risk. They ignore that part of it. All she's pointing at when she says that, and I've done a show on this, is to say that there is still risk of catching this, therefore, because we're pretending that it's beyond a shadow of a doubt that this thing only helps people and doesn't have any damage, that they should get it. They don't take into consideration the data, the studies that show you that this thing can lead to antibody-dependent enhancement if you've been previously infected, or the fact that it can increase your risk of adverse events if you have natural immunity. None of that is considered. All they do is point at the data out there and pretend that, well, there's still a risk, therefore they should get it. The same argument they make for pregnant women, despite the fact that there is no evidence to suggest that it is safe for them to do so. All they do is point at the possible COVID risk and say, therefore this should happen, because they're pretending it has no downside. We all know that that's dishonest.
So, and part of the challenge here is, as you know, the infection-induced immunity and the biases associated with retrospectively looking at the data. Several of those papers that we reviewed for that brief have demonstrated that the kind of disease that you had at the time you had it matters. Did you have...
Okay. So, and of course, of all people, she's going to talk about bias. Right. It's their bias so we're talking about The Lancet then, right? Is it their bias? This is the point that she just challenged. SARS-CoV-2 elicits robust adaptive immune responses regardless of disease severity. This is not the only study. This is all the way back on June 4th, 2021. This continues to show you that as well. Ultra potent antibodies against diverse and highly transmissible SARS-CoV-2 variants. Against 23 variants, including variants of concern. Regardless of disease severity, as the NIH, WHO, and the rest have told you, will last most likely the rest of your life. So does she not know that as the expert? Or is she lying to you?
Disease a year and a half ago demonstrated that the kind of disease that you had at the time you had it matters. Did you have disease a year and a half ago? Were you an older
person?
Can I
stop you for a second?
Were you?
We could do this prospectively.
Now, before he says his point, what she was going to get at there is, you know, were you sick a long time ago? Well, then it's going to be waning. But that's not true. Again, That's only in the vaccinated conversation. They are just continuing to act like that doesn't pertain to the conversation. The natural immunity is not even involved. But that's obviously not true. Like, they're just playing games with you. She, even as much as I do actually think that she'd not appear to be that intelligent, she 100% knows that she's lying to you right there. There's no way around that because it's all there. I mean, that is my opinion, but it's very clear to me what this is. I mean, I guess you could argue that she is always either the most incompetent person out there that's only being fed information by people that are controlling her, which I guess is possible, or she's lying to you. Let's play that last part again for her and then listen to what he says. This is the important part, what he says right here.
Have disease a year and a half ago? Did you have, were you an older
person?
Can
I stop you for a second?
Were you?
We could do this prospectively. Because you know who is actually, apparently, I'm told you've got patient identifiable data, and you would be able to say, okay, 6 months ago, we're going to start everybody infected within the last 6 months and be able to follow their EHR prospectively to see this. I mean, theoretically, CDC has the ability to do this right now.
Yet that too would have its own biases. So one of the things that we have demonstrated in the scientific brief is that asymptomatic and mildly symptomatic people who might not present to their providers, might present to an urgent care clinic, who might not be recorded in their own EHR, likely have less robust protection than those who've been severely infected. But that
could likely means I don't know. Say it with me, Walensky. I don't know. Sure, it could be lower or it could be more. That's what I don't know means. But you leave out the second part of that, and then it seems like you do know. The reality is the science backs up that that is not true. Lasting, durable, robust, regardless of disease severity. She's just feeding you the narrative.
Be established prospectively if using the data that you have.
And that's the point he's making. It's like, stop saying that, because look, it's regardless of what you think you're pointing at. Why not just use the data in front of you and verify that claim? I mean, they probably would do that and just lie about it. But the point is that this data right now that they can see clearly shows you what we're saying.
And you could even say, if you had symptomatic infection, you don't need to be vaccinated. We would consider you immune. You don't have to be subjected to the mandate.
No, I do not want that, because that continues to justify the infrastructure for the passports. I don't need to prove anything to you. I'm not sick. And even if I was, it's not your choice what I have to do. All right, this is the reality. This is what he was speaking about in regard to the Nuremberg trials and how this is what we all pretended we agreed on until they just changed it with COVID-19.
But if
we had data, if we had data that demonstrated a correlation of protection, Dr. Fauci already mentioned data that they're working on to look at correlates of protection, not just in antibodies, but as you noted, in T cell function as well. So if we were able to document a correlate of protection, we absolutely could prospectively follow.
But this paper that I'm reading from from NIH,
yep,
speaks that there is durable memory of the virus up to 8 months after infection in 95% of the people who recovered, including B cells, which continue to climb, T cells, and antibody.
Oops. Doesn't she look like a fool, right? Well, if we had the data that showed that, it's right here in front of me, in fact. And by the way, guys, I've shown you that endlessly. The Nature has an article that says that, the Lancet, the NIH, in fact, they come out and say very clearly that this is, and that's the ones I keep talking about, lasting, durable, robust. We're talking about memory B, T cell, and neutralizing antibodies. To be very clear, the neutralizing antibodies will always wane to a degree. If your natural immunity is shown to wane slightly, but that's what he's pointing out here, is that the memory B and T cells go up, and that's how that continues to work for you. In regard to people that only got the injection, well, even the thing, you're making antibodies right now, by the way, to things that aren't even around, so you're going to get sick regardless. But even those antibodies, when tested for, even though they're not useful to you right now, wane after 2 months. Dramatically. 3 months, they drop off a cliff, and that's why we've talked about that in regard to 3 months, the booster shots, and so on. It's amazing that she's pretending that she doesn't know this, or it's even more amazing that she might actually not. That's what's staggering to me. But we're the anti-science conspiracy theorists, apparently, as we point to the peer-reviewed science.
And I'm also saying you could do it clinically, because we have data that's patient-identifiable that we could go back.
As he says here, CDC refused to look at natural immunity as a way out. The idiots are clearly blocking the data from coming out, but we don't even necessarily need their manipulated data. But it says you do not need a vaccine if you've had COVID already. And I 100% agree with that. And all the data backs that up from their outlets. But here she is sitting up there trying to gaslight everybody and claim that, well, it depends on how sick you are. And well, we don't know if it lasts, and we don't know if they got T cells. Yeah, all of it shows you that from the middle of 2021, including the beginning of 2021, in fact. Now, I'm not going to go drag them all up. I've done 100 shows on this stuff. But maybe I should. Sometimes you ask yourself whether there's one new person out there watching that would be turned, would be moved to recognize the reality if you just showed that study. But, you know, too much time in the day, or not enough time in the day, I mean. So back to Eric Finkeldang here talking about the CDC has now identified the first case of the Omicron variant in the U.S. and California, according to CNN, which should immediately go, well, that probably means it's not true. Or Fox, for that matter. I just see it. They're the two clown sides of either side of the clown show. But Omicron variant in the U.S. Okay. So the argument should immediately be, how do they know that? Right? How do we know? Is it possible? Sure. Sure, it's certainly possible. But how do we know that? How do they confirm this? And so quickly, seeing as how, the only way to find this out is genomic sequencing that's only in a few locations in the U.S., and that process takes at best 48 hours, which I just showed you yesterday in my previous show, or day before yesterday, last show I did. So did they just randomly pick a sample to send to the CDC days ago and got lucky? I mean, ask yourself the question, right? So if it takes 48 hours to process, at what point did they pick this out of the ether and say, this might be a case, let's send it over to the CDC and see what they have to say? Or if in the case that the CDC decided to pick one. Why? Why did they do this 2 days, 3 days ago, or whenever it happened, and pick it out and say, let's look at that one and find out? Is it possible? Sure it is. But realize that there's no reason to see, even we're at a point where this is still being defined. And yet we're going to pretend that they had picked this out and processed it over the last 48 hours to tell you that this is the first case we already found, when at two days ago, we were barely understanding this was happening. I mean, none of this adds up to me. But whether or not they did identify this case, we need to ask ourselves whether, first of all, that this is even actually happening the way they say it is, or whether this is just the cold, or whether it even matters if this is happening in the U.S., based on the fact that all of the information shows you that it's, in fact, super mild. But on top of that, here's another one. Today, Nigeria detects an Omicron case from weeks before it was first reported in South Africa. Okay, this is just fundamentally, there's no way this is true. There's no way. Ask yourself how it's possible that they could detect a case from weeks before. So are we pretending that they went back through and found a case from weeks ago and said, that one, let's test that one, let's send that to the CDC 2 days ago at best? Or rather, let's even make this even more clear, that it would have to be sent to the CDC and then sent back. So let's pretend like it's got to be more than 48 days or 48 hours. It's just ridiculous. This is taking a case that they probably think by estimation is likely Omicron and then just claiming that it is, just like they did with Delta. That's my opinion, but I don't see how they could time-wise make this work. Now, just to make this clear for those that haven't seen the previous show, this is a Reuters fact check from last month. Just to make it clear, despite what the Sky News would say, Jude Foles, a spokesperson at the CDC, told Reuters via email in a previous fact check that it is correct that COVID-19 tests for current infection, quote, will not be able to tell you what variant you have. However, the CDC uses a process called genomic sequencing to analyze these samples to identify and characterize the variants. Now, in another one, I think it was the CDC website, as well as the USA Today fact check, it goes in to tell you that it's only limited. There's only so many locations in the United States and so on. It's absurd to pretend like this happened and they all know. If you want to watch more on that one topic specifically, the PCR illusion continues is one of the segments on a show I did on the 30th. Here's the link. Please check it out for yourself. Here is something you might want to see coming directly from, Bulra from biotech, right? Where is it? Albert Bullera speaks with the CNBC, the Pfizer biotech injection, or specifically the chairman of Pfizer, but working on the Pfizer biotech injection, tells you something that you're going to want to hear that's buried way down in this transcript. But it's nothing new. You've already heard this from me 100 times, but this is them, again, telling you what will happen if you're just willing to listen. Of course, the media won't tell you this. Here's what he says. I did make a projection months ago. So months ago, he was telling you this would happen. And again, he's reiterating it now, and this is what's going to happen. The most likely scenario, it is that we will need, after the third dose, right, the third dose of the same thing that's not working, annual revaccinations against COVID for multiple reasons because of the immunity that will be waning. Not if you have natural immunity, though, but they're pretending like it doesn't exist. Because of the virus that I'm sure will be maintained around the world for the years to come. And also because of the need of variants that will reemerge. What in the world does it mean to say, I'm sure that he says, because of the virus that I'm sure will be maintained around the world for years to come. Maintained? I mean, maybe you could argue this is a language barrier. Or maybe it's a Freudian slip or whatever. You think what you want. When you're going to talk about maintaining the virus, I mean, how about we just look up the exact definition of maintained, cause or enable? Okay. So you could otherwise realize that he just said, whether accidentally or otherwise, that because the virus that I'm sure will be whichever one makes the most sense, caused or enabled around the world for years to come. Take a minute and think about that. That's alarming to me. Anyway, because of the virus that I'm sure will be maintained, so it's not going anywhere, guys. We're going to keep it going. He says, I'm more confident right now that this will be the case than I was when I made the projection. He says, I think we're going to have an annual revaccination. I don't know how we're going to call it, but will be an annual revaccination, and that should be able to keep us really safe. So we don't know what it's going to be called, but it's going to be this, though, for sure. That's kind of the way that sounded, didn't it? I don't know. That scared me a little bit when you realize this guy is just pretty much telling you exactly what's going to happen. Annual revaccination. Now, you realize all the people out there getting injections right now are of the belief that this will eventually end. How many times do I have to ask throughout this process if you knew this was going to go on for 2 years, if you knew it would go on for 3 years, if you knew it would go on for the rest of your life, would you still comply? Many now somehow have suddenly started to say, yes, it's amazing to me. But this is what happens when you're involved in a constant, nonstop social engineering program and a psychological operation that keeps going. People are, it's almost Stockholm syndrome. I mean, they're beginning to believe that their captors care about them. Now, finally, to wrap us up here, there's two things to finish. This is actually quite incredible to me. I believe this is coming out for a very specific reason. I believe this is coming out in order to undermine the historical narrative around other things in a way that almost, I mean, look, the article for the podcast, the headline says, majority of mumps cases are among the vaccinated, the CDC finds. And this came out today. So you're thinking, was this from a while ago? So why exactly would the CDC even do this right now? I am wildly skeptical about what their intentions are with this. Because doesn't this create vaccine hesitancy? Well, obviously. So then why do they do it if they're censoring people for even the truth if it causes vaccine hesitancy? Because there's something here. There's something to this. It says very clearly, as many as 94% of children and adolescents who contracted mumps were vaccinated. That's now. So doesn't that very clearly suggest that vaccines may not work the way they... Yeah, it does. But you'll see where they're going with this. So first of all, take away from this that it should give you another reason why you should be able to say, no way, thank you, I'll wait and see how it pans out. They don't want that, though. Here's what it says. Mumps cases continue to circulate in the U.S., largely among vaccinated people. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and, spoiler alert, tell you right now that they're telling you that this is the case. 94% in the vaccinated, and you won't be shocked when you find out that they argue the solution is more mumps injections. I'm not even making that up. It says, according to the report, and that's kind of my point, by the way, is why they're almost trying to justify that vaccines never really work and they never really have. What are you, a conspiracy theorist? It's all about just reducing severe illness and keeping it going forever. Right? Yeah. Of course, it's going to be mostly in the vaccinated because most of them are injected. Right? You see all these same kind of arguments fitting this argument, but it doesn't make sense. If 94% of the people that have it are vaccinated, it's not working. That's the same thing you could point out with the injection we have here. The only difference is people have been warped into making this the normal. And I think that's one of the reasons why they're kind of coming back to this argument and going, well, it's almost to argue that means it's working. I don't even know. This is weird. But let's keep going. It says, according to the report from the CDC, one-third of mumps cases in the U.S. from 2007 to 2019 were reported in children and adolescents. As many as 94% of those who contracted the illness had been vaccinated. 94%. Experts aren't sure why vaccinated people get mumps, but multiple factors appear to be affecting immunity in vaccinated people, including a lack of prior exposure to the virus. Oh, you don't say. Isn't there another way to say that? Yeah, there is. If you had gotten natural immunity, and yeah, that does brave the possible risks, then you wouldn't have this problem today. Because natural immunity is lasting, as we've seen with chickenpox and everything else throughout history. But now you've got them on this rolling cycle of vaccination, and it just wanes away because it's not ideal. But here's the point. They say because of it says that the multiple factors appear to be affecting immunity, including a lack of prior exposure to the virus, which is an obvious. But then it also says waning immunity and the circulation of genotypes the vaccine doesn't contain. Except again, spoiler alert, later in this article, they argue that this last part is not happening. So all they're basically saying by padding this around is that they're waning immunity. The vaccines don't work because they're going away. Now it says nearly 91% of the U.S. population has had at least one dose of a two-dose measles, mumps, and rubella or MMR vaccine. Isn't it interesting that they're kind of plucking out of obscurity, well, not really obscurity. The MMR vaccine is one of the most contentious out there, and it should be because it's dangerous. But grabbing the one that has two doses to go along with it. And getting to the point that maybe you need a third. Nobody can miss the correlation between this story and what they're happening today. So are we beginning to see why they pluck this out? It goes on to say, well, let me read it again. Nearly 91% of the U.S. population has had one dose of the two-dose MMR injection, which was the focal point of the Vax documentary, which is administered between 12 months and 6 years and is 88% effective against the disease. They really just said that. You are literally starting out by saying that 94% of the people who caught this in general have been vaccinated with the thing that's supposed to stop them from catching it. And then you have the nerve to say it just blatantly as fact is 88% effective against that. You see how crazy this is? This is the kind of broke mentality that we have in the mainstream today. Now it goes on to say the numbers are still low. And they aren't a reason to believe vaccines are no longer effective, said Joseph Leonard, an assistant professor of epidemiology at the School of Public Health. So because the problem is not really there, you pretend that the vaccines are working. That's just because it's not a problematic. In general, people have immunity, whether natural or otherwise, and it's not spreading. The fact that you can see 94% of the cases are coming from the vaccinated, there's no way you can argue that means the vaccine's working. But he just did. There's no reason to think it's no longer safe and effective. This is just clumsily adding. This is COVID-19 being superimposed over this argument. It says here, in some people, antibodies from mumps vaccination decrease over time. Yeah, or all of them, as we're clearly seeing. Maybe that's because you're jamming it together with other injections. In this case, it is, I just read it a second ago. Measles, mumps, and rubella. Oh, by the way, none of which are tested alongside each other, because that makes sense. We're going to put all three together and stick it in your body, and we don't even know what they'll do with each other. Yay, vaccine, safe, there's science. But the point is, and I just simply, maybe that's one of the reasons why it's not working effectively, or because it's just bad intentions behind the science. It says in some people, antibodies for mumps are decreasing, reducing protection. Leonard said older adolescents are most at risk during outbreaks among young people because they are more likely than younger children to have reduced immunity due to waning vaccine protection. So the people at most risk have the least protection. Isn't that something exactly like we're dealing with today? Protection is still high, they claim, but there will be some who lose protection within a decade or less, even after they are vaccinated. Protection is still high, while 94% of the people who are getting it are vaccinated. I guess you take that for what you will. Because mumps has continued to circulate globally during the pandemic, this is now it's coming into current times. Well, it's because, you know, pandemic and COVID caused this just because. She expects cases and outbreaks of mumps nationally that could be worsened by a bigger unvaccinated population to continue. Oh, and here we are. Now it's all on you again. It's the unvaccinated fault for why this is happening, even though 94% of the cases are in the vaccinated. Does that make sense? Well, in COVID clown world, it perfectly adds up. The problem here, though, is that what you're saying here is that this is because of COVID, and she expects cases and outbreaks. But what are they ignoring in this? That the vaccine is removing your CD8 cells that's causing situations that your suppressed immune system and on and on and on that could lead to these problems happening anyway. But all we can say is because of the unvaccinated, even though your own data doesn't back that up. Quote, we know that disruptions from the COVID-19 pandemic resulted in many children missing well child visits and routinely recommended vaccines, including MMR, that could contribute to future increases in cases or outbreaks, she said. That's damn near verbatim what Max Blumenthal said on the panel I was on. COVID disruptions from COVID-19 pandemic resulted in many missing well child visits and blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, it's a nice mainstream talking point that's acceptable to say today, but it's ridiculous. Of course they missed well visits, and of course that caused a lot of other things. But in general, we're watching the actions that they're causing lead to the problems that are happening. To just continue to clumsily argue that it's because they missed doctor's visits that everything is happening, is it possible? Yes. Can we prove that? No. So to say that is a very self-serving mainstream argument that makes it acceptable. That people say, okay, well, they're on the mainstream. It's at risk during outbreaks among younger people because they are more likely than younger people. Hold on, where was I? Right here. Make sure I didn't miss something. That's interesting. Marlo said most people are routinely because mumps has continued to circulate globally. I guess it was this right here. I feel like I was missing another point. In any case, that is an argument that's being widely made, of course, in the mainstream. A third dose. And this is where you see the crossover very clearly with the narrative of today. I mean, the whole time you can see that, but this is really specific. Dr. Ramesh, and again, this is after all this time. MMR is going to be giving all this time, and they're even telling you from 2007 to 2019, we're watching this. Okay, so why now? Why suddenly in the middle of this are we going, well, maybe we need a third dose for this thing that's been a problem for 20 years? Well, because a third dose is now something that we're logically trying to justify. It says, Dr. Ramesh, a senior scholar at the Center for Health Security at Johns Hopkins, said the U.S. mumps vaccine contains genotype A strain, which no longer circulates in the U.S., but that doesn't seem to make the vaccines less effective. Well, that was one of their arguments above, right, that said that's probably why it's more or less effective. Well, he's saying that's not true. That's one of the mysteries of understanding this, is because when you give the genotype A vaccine during an outbreak, it still works, he said. We've seen that during outbreaks on college campuses, a third dose of MMR is enough to stop it. See, now we're at a point where we're now in the middle of this, rationalizing giving a third dose to people all over the place right now. He said that combating new outbreaks may be as simple as shifting the vaccine schedule from 2 to 3 doses. And maybe, again, means we don't know. Let's try. Let's give you another injection of this vaccine and just see if it works. Why not? Because there's no downside, right? That's what they would all want you to think. This is clear in my mind, leading into the rationalization of everything that's happening under COVID by using an older story. And you may have seen, by the way, that LeBron James, who was sort of a kind of a standout figure of attacking other people, fully vaccinated, has now tested positive for COVID-19. So he's told, well, to make sure we're clear that he took 3 tests. This was yesterday. First test, lateral flow, positive. Second test, PCR, negative. Then he was given a third tiebreaker test, which came back positive. Now, apparently, he's asymptomatic at this time. Team chartered a private jet to take him back to home. Or he has absolutely nothing, and these tests are complete garbage, as we've shown you many, many times, only in the context of how they're using them today, because that's how they're not supposed to be used, as the creator of the test himself made very clear. So maybe he's sick with something. Maybe he caught spike protein from somebody who got injected with something else. Or maybe it's nothing at all because he's asymptomatic and that's pretty much a guarantee that he's not. But just playing with the idea that he did get it. Take this this argument for a moment and think about it. As it says, science gets better every day. So it's a picture for the podcast of LeBron. Because understand, in the game right now, playing basketball professionally, they're not distancing. They're not wearing masks. Well, some of them wear, it's absurd when they do, but most of them aren't. Yet when they aren't playing, they have to wear masks and distance and so on. Because that makes perfect sense, right? It says you can sweat on each other for 48 minutes, breathe in each other's face, and all handle the same ball. But you better wear a mask on the bench, and you can't meet the opposing team at half court after the game to shake hands. Science. I mean, it's unbelievably stupid. Here is the CNN tweet, September 28th. NBA superstar LeBron James has confirmed he received the vaccination. And 3 weeks later, LeBron James gets COVID. Now, I didn't add anything else to that. You could take that for what you will. But I think that's very telling. Because the reality is that we continue to see that kind of time frame. Now, is that breakthrough? Clearly not breakthrough, even if it is a case, because it's more than rare. In fact, it's the majority. And even the per 100,000, at least in the UK data from The Lancet, shows you that it's most cases even there, that they have the highest problem, even over the unvaccinated. But why aren't people asking these questions? Now, what Nashville Angela points out, this is just in the general context of posting things like this, which she's doing a good job of, like pictures of LeBron or talking about things she's finding, or this guy had a heart attack and their child died in a trial, and you know, so on, right? Well, Twitter recently came out with information that says you're not allowed to do that anymore. Gee, I wonder why. I wonder why they did that. As it says, beginning today, we will not allow the sharing of private media, such as images or videos of private individuals, without their consent. Publishing people's private info is also prohibited under the policy, as is threatening or incentivizing others to do so. Well, as she points out, FYI, and this is sad. I mean, you could still find her on Telegram, but she says, all the stories I gather will now be on my Telegram versus here, which will get far less reach. Under copyright laws where I am, if it's on a public domain and is sourced, you are fine, but not according to the new rules here. Well, Twitter doesn't get to make up the new rules. Twitter doesn't get to make up the copyright law. Right? They can censor all they want anyway, which they'll do anyway. But the point is, what they're saying is this is about stopping people like her, in my opinion, from sharing publicly available information about people that already posted documentation on their Facebook page that says, we got vaccinated today, and then pointing out where the person died. And that's also publicly posted. Now, what they're trying to stop is people realizing what's happening, in my opinion. But as I said, except it's not private if it's already been publicly posted on the internet, you dummies. Directed at Twitter. This is about hiding what's happening. And remember that we're talking about the kind of technocratic censorship that this is all going to be leading into. That's where this is going. This is just disclosed pointing out the same thing. Twitter bans sharing images or videos of private individuals without their consent. Right. Well, and this is, of course, it doesn't even matter about that tweet. The point here, though, is that this is, if it's on the internet, it's not private. But you see, they want this to boil down to private individuals. You know what that means? Media, politicians, famous people. Not you, though. Not when the mainstream decides to do an expose on some conspiracy theorist and they blast your image all over the place. No, that's totally okay, though. This is subjective and it is dishonest. They're stopping the spread of free discussion. And they know that. As Lou Starksy points out, I was wondering why I could not share the video of all those billionaires and politicians lying. Exactly. Well, that just seems dumb. Right? And whether he's being facetious or not, that's exactly the point. You have evidence of something and suddenly you can't post it. They're private individuals. This is authoritarian. This is totalitarian. Now, last point. Last point. This is an important thing to kind of wrap up on to show you how absurd this all is right now. Now, this is from Indy 100. I'm also going to point lastly to Axios. Here's what the headline says. Republicans are now bribing people not to get the vaccine. Now, of course, they put bribing in quotes because that's literally the opposite of what's happening. Well, I mean, you could maybe bend that into being bribing, except that it's really what they deserve. But what's interesting to me, first of all, is let's just say they were giving them money out of their hand. Why is that not okay? Aren't you giving them money to get vaccinated? So why is it completely okay to give people money just to go get an injection that they don't want, as opposed to giving them money to give them to not get an injection in some cases that they don't want? Like, really, take a minute. It's subjective because they agree with one side of that argument. This has never been more clear. All over this discussion, they are just going, well, that's okay, right? You can challenge the government over here, Biden says, but not, but when you challenge it on this side, that's terrorism because it's my ball, I'm going home, right? But Florida, feel free, speak out against them. Don't listen to them, right? It's never been that clear, guys. If it's okay for people in the political sphere to bribe you to get it, it should be, it's the equally exact same thing to bribe them not to get it, except in COVID clown world. Now, here's the interesting part about this. That's not actually what's happening. That's how these absurd corporate media outlets are framing it. What they're doing? giving them benefits that they would have gotten had they not been fired unjustly from their job. But me, corporate media, bribing. It's crazy. As the Omicron variant reaches North America, so we're told, again, that's just taken as absolute fact already, Republican officials are introducing incentives for individuals to not get the vaccine. Now, I even take issues with incentives. This is giving people something that they deserve. On September 8th, Joe Biden announced that any business with more than 100 employees is required to let the vaccine. Here's what's also frustrating. This article's come out at a time when it was well since acknowledged that that mandate was not valid, that it's already been pulled back. But they don't want you to know that. They're actually pretending that's not even true. So here this person just writes it as if it's still going because they're dishonest. Any business with more than 100 employees is required to implement the vaccine, which affects around 80 million people in addition to them, period. New point. They're well aware that that's not still the fact. They don't care, though, because they want to trick you into doing what they've decided is the right thing. Because of the mandate, GOP-controlled states like Florida, Iowa, Kansas, and Tennessee have recently decided to allow workers who are fired or quit over vaccine mandates, which are wildly unconstitutional, to receive unemployment insurance benefits. That is bribing. Realize these are people that did not want to leave their job, but got coerced into it and would have gotten unemployment had this been a normal situation. So they're letting them get what they should have gotten. Like this is the corporate media stomping their feet about why these people get something that keeps them feeding their family at a time when you push them out of their job because they didn't want to do something that they didn't agree with. The framing is just absurd to me. The granting of unemployment benefits to unvaccinated individuals appears to be, so now we're at a guessing part of this, they're guessing their intentions because that's what the media does today, appears to be part of a Republican ploy to build loyalty and align those individuals with the GOP. Well, you know what? They're doing that whether they want it to or not because they're giving them something that allows them to. And by the way, let's not pretend ignorantly this is only Republicans. As I've continued to show you, people that are being fired for not taking this thing are, it's nonpartisan. It's people on the left, people on the right, and people that see that both sides are BS. It's very clear. And they are desperate to keep that from your view. And that's probably what this article is all about. It appears to be a ploy to build loyalty. Oh, how dare they build loyalty and align individuals with the GOP. Well, that's going to align people even when they're Democrats with the GOP because they're being given things they can feed their family with in a position where the very people they thought were on their side were firing them. But that's malicious. Don't take this as a partisan point, guys. The quote Republicans and quote Democrats are equally ridiculous in my mind. And I'm talking about the government, not the people that believe they're part of that. People that are convinced to be a part of it are just blinded. And we're trying to reach them every day with what we're doing. But it says, according to Axios, Republicans see this as an opportunity to gain new support ahead of upcoming midterms. It's funny, they're trying to make it seem bad. And even that statement's like, well, yeah, like you all do all the damn time. And this isn't even a bad thing. You do this with terrible things. All of you do. It's just so silly. But here's Axios. GOP courts anti-vaxxers with jobless aid. Anti-vaxxers. You mean like that woman that got both injections and now had to be fired because she wouldn't get the third? Anti-vaxxer! Or the person that's injected every one of their children and got and everything up until now, but just wants to wait until they have more data? Anti-vaxxer! It's just, it's childish. And we all know that. All of us, even you out there pretending we're crazy, you know that that's subjective and childish. Republican officials around the country are testing a creative mechanism to build loyalty with unvaccinated Americans while undermining Biden administration's mandates. Now, you'd be forgiven for reading that sentence and walking away going, oh, then you have a source that's telling you that, right? Right, Axios? Republican officials are testing a mechanism they built? Yeah, that seems to sound like you know that as a fact, even though that's not true. That's just your perception of them giving unemployment benefits to people that should have gotten it. This is just so we're clear, as always, the mainstream out, the corporate media has always been like this, but you have never had such a window into how willfully manipulative they are. Florida, Iowa, Kansas, and Tennessee have changed their unemployment insurance rules to allow workers who are fired or quit to receive the benefits. All the maniacs, the demons. Extending unemployment benefits to the unvaccinated is just the latest in a series of proposals aligning the GOP with people who won't get a shot. Now, that's actually a fair statement. Regardless of their political standings, hopefully, the reality will be that the GOP any side of your political process is not on your side. But this may be the teeter-totter that we always point to, and maybe they're driving them over there now. Who ultimately knows? Hopefully, you'll stand back and realize that all of it is a big clown show, and none of them are on your side, really, when it comes down to it. Republicans see a prime opportunity to rally their base ahead of the midterms, again, stating as fact intention that they have no way of knowing. No matter how successful their individual efforts, the campaign is a powerful messaging weapon. It's a weapon now. Giving people unemployment benefits is a weapon. This is just clownish, guys. Now, to finish off, I want to end today with... Actually, I'll show you before I click away. This is from COVID-1984. Spiro shared this, a great clip of Pastor Meeks. Now, plenty of people out there, as we finish up here, plenty of people out there aren't religious. And in no way is showing a pastor speaking it from a religious perspective meant to try to manipulate you in any way. The point is simply to show you one thing. I mean, you all know that I'm a Christian. I mean, I'm wearing this right here. It shouldn't be something that's a secret. But in no way have I ever let that influence my direction. And I think that's important. It's just objectivity from every perspective. But to play this at the end, I want you to take this in one very clear way, is to recognize that whether or not you're religious, that this is being framed in a way that let's put it this way first, that from a religious perspective, there are a lot of people out there that are believing that this is something that we should do for the right, like from the Pope's perspective, that we all have an obligation to do. Not only is that counter to the very religious teachings of Christianity, but it just shows you that there, I mean, on top of the fact of the aborted fetal cells in the production of these, not necessarily in the injection themselves, there's countless examples of why this should be concerning for people in this position. But I want you to see this because it's one more perspective, religious perspective, that shows you that there's endless reasons why you have every right to stand against this. Religious, personal, or just because you don't want it. It's always been your right. It is still your right. They know it's your right, and they don't care. So let this resonate with you, and hopefully you realize that there's a lot more people out there that are beginning to stand up and let you see that they're on your side. A lot of them are still scared, but one person at a time, one day at a time, one moment at a time, one story at a time, we are reaching them. You are reaching them. Stay the course. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Our King tells us in his written word that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Do you believe that? Do you believe that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you take it seriously? Among all the other things that implies, if you do take it seriously, is this, that no earthly king or president or public health official or billionaire technocrat gets to dictate what we must put into our bodies, into these temples of the Holy Spirit. Because that's between us and God. You hear what I'm saying?